Remember, we had an outreach to the ladies' shelter in Longview last Christmas, and we got a testimony back from there that I'd like to share with you, a good report. So the lady that we had was our main contact was the house director, and as far as we understand, she's a saved lady that goes to a church in Longview, and she was ready for us to come back and start having services there at the shelter. But then when she tried to get it past her higher authority, her boss, which I guess her boss is one of the directors for that board or whatever, the board would not approve us coming back and having services there because for some reason they would lose funding from the state if a church got involved, and I don't know why, and that could have been just an excuse or something. But anyway, that was the reason they gave her for not allowing us to come in and have services there. But because of what we did and all the gifts we gave and the tracts and Bibles we put in all those gifts, the ladies there at the shelter began asking where they can go to church at, and a lot of them have asked that the director, the saved director, if she would help them find a church where they're being settled, wherever that is, whatever city they're being settled in. And so I just want to praise the Lord for being involved in seeing their interest in God raised, and hopefully we'll see some people saved and in heaven because of it. So keep praying for those that we witnessed to last Christmas. We did have an effect in those ladies' lives, so keep praying for them if you would. And thank you again for everybody who participated in that. It matters in people's lives when we reach out and show the love of Christ. Also, an announcement real quick. One more announcement. Let's see, how do I put this? I just want to let everybody know that I'll be requesting fasting next week, church-wide fasting. And so if you need to get ready for a fast, please do so. If you need to get your body trained or something, or if you just want to go cold turkey, that's fine. I just want everybody to know that we're going to be fasting for Jaden next week. And so I'll be preaching about it on Sunday, let you know exactly what we're talking about. But we're going to be anointing him with oil 2 Sundays from today. And so for the next week, starting Sunday, I'd like us to begin a fast. Ladies, I don't know what that means for Sunday afternoon meal. Obviously, the kids need to eat. At least most of the kids need to eat. So just bring food on Sunday and we'll eat. And we'll start the fast on Monday. You can start it on Sunday if you like. But anyway, we'll go ahead and bring food on Sunday. But be prepared to be requested of me to fast next week. And we'll talk about that on Sunday. All right. I think that's all the announcements I need to make. So if you would, go to Ephesians chapter 5. I believe it's chapter 5. Yes. This is our youth discipleship class, and it's been a few years since we talked about this, at least 2, maybe 3, and so we've had a lot of young people grow up for the last 2 or 3 years and get older, and this next Tuesday is a horrible day called Halloween, and some of you young people might wonder, why don't we go out and get candy like everybody else? How come I don't get candy on Halloween like the rest of the world goes and buys candy and the kids go out and go trunk or treating or trick or treating? How come mommy and daddy don't let me or my siblings go out and get candy on Halloween? So I want to share with you about Halloween this evening. And with that, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 5 through 16. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. There's an interesting command right there. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And that's what we want to do this evening. We want to reprove and talk about in Halloween and shine some light on it. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We want to be wise in this dark world. We don't just accept any old thing that the world does and go along with it. Let's pray before we begin. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. And Lord, we do want to understand why Halloween is not something a Christian should participate in, Lord. And I pray that you would help the young people, all of the young people, understand that this evening. And Father, I pray that you would also bind Satan and his demons as that day approaches. I pray, Lord, that they would not be able to have their way in people's lives, and that you would protect innocent people, Lord. I pray you bless this message now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Why do our families, why does my family not participate in Halloween? Well, let me give you a little history of Halloween, if I could. First of all, the name of Halloween. Halloween, the name, the very word, is a combining of the words Hallowed Evening or Hallowed Eve. And so Hallowed Evening, Hallowed Eve, slurred together, put into one word is Halloween. So that's how the word came to be. It's a Hallowed Evening to some people. It was a celebration day for a group called the Druids who lived in the British Isles a long time ago, and their ancestors and the not necessarily physical ancestor, but there are some people over there still are trace their lineage or their roots back to the Druids. But anyway, the Druids were a people that they were witches and Satan worshippers. Okay, they were a very wicked people, these Druids, and so this celebration day that they had, it was a hallowed day to them, but not to anybody else, not to Christians, certainly. It was not hallowed in a godly way at all. It was a very wicked and corrupt Halloween. Okay, so for a Christian, it wasn't hallowed. It was a wicked, wicked day. And these Druids, these wicked Druids, were celebrating around the fall solstice. They believed that the winter was the beginning of the seasons, because they believed in the false teaching of reincarnation. So they believed winter was the first season of the year, like we believe spring is the first season. Well, they believed that winter was the first season. Fall was the last season, because they believed in reincarnation. Reincarnation is a teaching that says if something dies, it will come back to life in another form. And this is a false teaching. This is a lie of the devil. We know the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, the Bible tells us. So no one dies and comes back as a person or as anything else. Nobody dies, comes back, dies, and comes back. Okay, but that's what reincarnation, the false teaching of reincarnation, teaches. But God did not make life to happen like that. We live one time, we die, and then eternity is upon us. And our eternity is settled one way or another during our lifetime. We either live forever with Jesus if we accept Christ as our Savior, or we live forever in the lake of fire. So reincarnation is a lie the devil made up. But the Druids believed in that, and they were celebrating the reincarnation of the year. It's a very twisted and wicked celebration, because Satan likes to twist anything that God made. He likes to twist it and corrupt it into a wicked thing. And so a new year is a fine thing, but not how these Druids were celebrating it, okay? They were celebrating the death of the year as if the death of the year was the beginning of the year. because of reincarnation. The new year it was, had died or was dying, they thought, and so that was the beginning of it. Well, that's not how we look at things, okay? But it was a celebration of death, the death of the year. And because this was a celebration of death, and they believed everyone would be reincarnated anyway, they had no respect for human life. No respect for human life. And these wicked Satan worshipers would cause innocent victims to die on this night during this wicked celebration. This was a satanic night. It was a night of terror to normal people in the British Isles. It was a bad, wicked night. What we know today as Halloween. You see, on Halloween night, the Druids, in long robes and masks, so that nobody would know who they were, nobody could identify them, would go to homes of normal people and perform the original trick-or-treating. The original trick-or-treating. They would request a fairly large gift of food from the people in this household for their celebration as the treat, their treat. Out of fear for these Druids, the family usually gave it if they had it. But some of them didn't have it to give. But if the Druids were satisfied with the food gift, the Druids would leave a jack-o'-lantern with a lit candle inside on the family's doorstep. That jack-o'-lantern was supposed to ward off evil spirits. And this is why a jack-o'-lantern is most definitely a satanic symbol. Don't buy jack-o'-lanterns. Don't put them on your house. It's a symbol for Satan. And not to mention, it's a very wicked thing. I won't even tell you what most jack-o'-lanterns were made of. Some were made from pumpkins, but not usually. That came later. There is a real reason why they're called jack-o'-lanterns, and it's all very wicked. Okay, so jack-o'-lanterns are not something you need to have anything to do with. It's wicked. It's satanic. But that was the treat the Druids demanded, a large gift of food. If the family refused or didn't have it to give anyway, I'd like to give it to you, but I can't. If they refused to give them this treat for any reason, the Druids would then perform the trick upon the family. They would take a member of the family, kidnap a member of the family to be killed that night during their wicked celebration. So the Druids began the original trick-or-treating, and it was all very satanic and very, very wicked. That's the historical beginning of Halloween, you see. And there's a lot of other things in Halloween that's had its beginnings on that night that we're not really going to go into. But the term bonfire comes from that wicked night. That innocent little ditty of Ring Around the Rosie comes from that night. It's a wicked song about a bonfire. Parents, if you want to know more about that, ask me later. But if I catch my children singing that song, I stop them immediately. They don't know why or what it's about, and I don't bother explaining it to them. I just don't let them sing that song. They don't really need to know what it's about. Just don't sing that song. That's not a good song. But there's a lot of things that Christians should not have anything to do with because of that night and the Druids and their witchcraft. Oak trees, oak leaves, and mistletoe were all sacred items in the Druid witchery. And so I don't have any mistletoe in my house at Christmas time either, because mistletoe was a wicked thing for the Druids. Okay, so that's the history of Halloween. It was a wicked, wicked night. Terribly, terribly wicked. And it's all about Satan. And today, Satan is watering down all those wicked beginnings in order to hide the real truth about Halloween, that it is Satan's wicked day. Trick-or-treating is now watered down, all the way down to giving out candy on that quote-unquote special night. And if you don't give out candy, you risk getting your house egged. That's the trick. Egged or toilet papered as the trick. So Satan is watering it all down. The terror of that night is watered down and made a mockery of by the scary decorations that they offer in all the stores that you can buy and decorate your house with. The terror is watered down by all of Hollywood's many so-called horror films. Satan wants people to think that it's all make-believe, that it's all a kind of a funny joke. He doesn't want people to realize that it's real and it's about him. It's about witches worshiping Satan. It's a terrible, wicked day. It's not a joke. The horror of that night was real to many people. And the witches in the world are still operating. They're still witches, and they still are killing people on that night. It's still a terrible, wicked night. But Satan's watering it all down. The terror of the druids in their masks, going from house to house, stealing food or kidnapping people, kidnapping victims, is now watered down by little kids going from house to house or from car trunk to car trunk, as trunk-or-treating is called now. And they're dressed in funny, cute, silly, or maybe they're trying to be scary outfits. And they're gathering up their treats on, again, this special day that the parents don't realize where it came from. So Satan's watering it all down, trying to make people think it's all a big joke. The wickedness never really happened. It was just a special day for kids. It's not a special day for kids. It's a terrible, wicked day. And even Satan's attempt to mask how terribly wicked this day is, his attempts are in and of themselves wicked. His attempts to hide this day and mask it are hideously grotesque, dark, devilish, and evil. Ghosts are you see the ideas of ghosts all over the place in the world because Satan wants you to think it's a joke. Well, ghosts are devilish, evil, dark things. You see death, ideas of death all over the place in the stores and on people's houses because of this day. Tombstones, graveyards, skeletons are all over the place to celebrate Halloween. These things are all devilish, and therefore they're all evil. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 5, please. The Bible here talks about, in verse 7, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Well, with who? Well, with idolaters. And these are idolaters, these ones who started this wicked day. They were worshiping the devil. Idolaters. And so we're not to partake with idolaters. So the Christian is not to partake with any kind of evildoer. We're to stay away from that kind of wickedness. In verse 11, it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And that's what we're doing this evening. We're reproving the idea of Halloween and partaking in that. But don't have any fellowship with that. Don't look like you're encouraging it. Don't participate in it. Don't have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And if any day is a dark day, it's this day, Satan's day, Halloween. And then turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, short little verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Abstain from all appearance of evil. So if anything could or might appear to be of the devil, this verse applies. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks like it came from Satan, or that it was Satan's idea, stay away from it. Abstain from it. Just the idea of it, the appearance of it. Don't have anything to do with that kind of thing. Just the not even proven. It doesn't say if it's proven to be of the devil. It says if it appears to have the appearance of evil, stay away from it. You see, just to appear evil is wrong. It's destructive to the Christian. What does evil mean? Anybody ever do a word study on evil? I know a few of you have done a word study on evil. That word evil doesn't just mean sin. Okay, the word evil means hurtful, damaging, destructive. It means it has the idea of mischief about it, calamitousness, viciousness, as well as it means things that are devilish or of the devil. That's what evil means. Hurtful things, damaging things, those are evil things. And if there ever was one word that was completely synonymous with Halloween, evil is it. Halloween is all about destructive things, damaging things, hurtful things, scary things, ruinous things, death, destruction. They want you to believe in things that will hurt you, like ghosts. And it's all evil. Halloween is the very synonymous term with evil. And so abstain from all appearance of evil, the Bible says. That's why we don't have anything to do with Halloween. That's why this is why my family never partakes in this holiday. Go with me to one more passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And by the way, this, we're not having a test or a quiz this evening afterwards, because there was really no reason to have a test on Halloween. But this is why, young people, none of us participate in Halloween, I hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship? Notice, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Halloween is unrighteousness. What fellowship should we have with that? Not a thing. And what communion hath light with darkness? Oh, if there's any day that was just full of darkness, Halloween is it. What participation should light have with darkness? None. That's why we don't participate. And what, verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, or idol worshippers, or Satan worshippers? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So this is why my family never partakes of Halloween. I don't take my children out to knock on doors and get candy. I don't take them to these parking lots where they're doing trunk or treating. We just don't participate in Halloween at all. Now, if we were living, and for those who do live in a place where children come to your door and go door to door looking for candy, I would take the opportunity to give them a gospel tract and probably a piece of candy to encourage them to come back next year so I can give them the gospel again. As long as they are doing it anyway and coming to my door, I would take the opportunity to give them the gospel. There's nothing wrong with that. It would be a shame for people that are coming to your door and you don't go ahead and give them the gospel, you see. So don't feel like you are encouraging wickedness by giving the gospel to them. They're coming to your door anyway, so give them the gospel. Give them the gospel. It'd be such a waste of an opportunity. We go around wanting to tell people about Jesus, and we want to find somebody who will listen. And on this day, they're coming to your door. Give them the gospel if that's the case. Give them a gospel tract. But other than that, other than taking the opportunity to share the gospel with people, my family would have nothing to do and will have nothing to do with Halloween. My kids don't get candy in the privacy of our house. I do not give them a bag of candy on Halloween. There is nothing about Halloween that I celebrate. We do nothing at all to make Halloween a special day for our kids, because it's a wicked day. It's Satan's night. It's not a good night at all. And so that's also why, young people, our church doesn't do anything at all during this time that might be remotely connected to this wicked day. We have no celebrations at all of any kind during this time that could be related to Halloween. We don't have a harvest festival. If we did have any kind of fall celebration, I would put it way before or way after Halloween. That way there's nothing remotely connected to Halloween. So if we wanted to have a get-together and praise the Lord for the harvest or something, it wouldn't happen anywhere close to this week that we're approaching. I'd put it at least three weeks before or 3 weeks after, so that nobody thinks, oh, we're celebrating Halloween. We're just changing the name. No, we don't celebrate Halloween at all, you see. We don't want to have anything to do with that wicked day, except to share the gospel on that day. It's a terrible day, and we don't want to have anything to do with it. We don't want to even look like we're having anything to do with it. We don't want to look like we're encouraging it or look like we're participating in it. It's a terribly wicked, wicked, horrible day. So that's why I hope your dad and mom don't ever take you trick-or-treating and don't let you participate. And I certainly hope you will make that choice of your own when you grow up, because it is most certainly Satan's day, Satan's wicked day. And so, for a Christian, what should we do on that day? Well, the one thing that we can do, we need to be praying. We need to pray against Satan and against those that want to glorify Satan. Pray against those who participate in the real wickedness of Halloween. There still are witches today. There are still people that worship Satan, and you don't need to be afraid of them. And if you ever won't know one. They look like anybody else. You won't know a witch when you see one. They look like anybody else, and they need the gospel. You need to share Jesus Christ with everybody, and hopefully one day you'll share the gospel with someone like this. And you don't need to be afraid of them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's not something that we need to be terrified of. But there are still these people that worship Satan on this day. And so we need to be praying against them, praying that their little party kind of crashes down on them, you see. And so it's a wicked night, and what the Christian can do is pray. All right. And so with that thought in mind, let's go to our prayer list.